Coming up next on the Davenport Podcast.
Being assertive versus being aggressive. No one wants to pay $40 for a steak they're not going to eat. An aggressive communicator goes one up. Yeah. I'm not paying for this. I'm getting free dessert. Some people will think they're being assertive when they're being aggressive.
I'll have the final word.
No.
And I'm right. Generosity is missing from the equation.
We can communicate those feelings of frustration. That's not wrong or bad. It's how we do it. Assertive is where we want to land.
Welcome to the Davenport. My name is Guy Below, and I'm a life coach, a business mentor, and an entrepreneur.
I'm Jamie Pyatt, a licensed clinical social worker. I love working with individuals, couples, and teens, and I'm also a certified Daring Way facilitator.
Join us as we sit down on the Davenport to share a little bit of coaching,
a little bit of therapy,
and a lot of entertainment.
We're so happy you're here.
Welcome to the Davenport. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Guy.
How are you doing this week?
Good. Had some time at Tower 20 this week, so it's good. And what was the best part of Tower 20 this week is I walked up and there was Aaron and the kids. I was like, Aaron, you and I have never sat at Tower 20 together. She was leaving as I got there, but yeah. It was Jake's birthday.
Jamie's here. It's time to go.
Yeah. She's like, oh, she's going to be here till sunset, which I was.
Oh, were you?
Pretty much until the kids were like, we're starving.
Do you stay that long?
I'll stay till like 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Yeah. Hence the tan glow that you.
Right now. And that's what I always tell Mackenzie because she's fighting me on sunscreen. I'm like, no, I wear 50. I wear 50 and you still
get. And you still get. Yeah. Wow.
I wear 50 and 70 on my face and a hat and sunglasses. Like I'm religious about it because I was a lifeguard when I was young.
Yeah.
So I make my annual trip to the dermatologist.
Yeah. Why do I look like I'm in the witness protection program when I go to the beach? I do the hat and sunglasses and the SPF, but I always feel like I'm hiding from a dangerous source of something that's going to get me.
Oh, anyway. So yeah, it's always, I love summertime. It's my favorite time of year.
I think sometimes of the sun as a threat that I have to avoid.
I mean, you have to be careful. No doubt about it. But and the ocean right now is so warm. The water is amazing. And it's clear for San Diego.
Nice.
And I think the leopard sharks are out in La Jolla. So I think for this weekend, we're going to go snorkeling down there.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it's really cool. If you haven't taken your kids to do that.
Snorkel with the leopard sharks?
Snorkel with the leopard sharks.
Yeah. Erin, how do you think that would go over? Should we suggest that?
She's shaking her head like, no way.
Hey, there's sharks. Let's go snorkeling.
When Mackenzie was little, we'd put the snorkel on her and then she would go on my back. And I mean, they're big and they'll rub up against your legs. And
so for those that don't know, leopard sharks, I'm guessing, are harmless. Okay.
Yes. But they're like 4 to 6 feet long.
But they're sharks.
Yeah, they're sharks. Yeah.
They have teeth or no teeth?
I mean, they're like, I'm looking at them and my heart rate increases. I'm like, I'm okay. It's okay. There's lots of people in the water.
Is there ever a bad shark that sneaks in with the leopard sharks?
No, and you'll see
as tons disguise.
There's tons of people out there snorkeling and kayaking and paddleboarding. And so one time we took the paddleboard on so that she could kind of sit on the paddleboard and just put her face in the water. And it is a really cool thing. But my niece is flying in. And so we were watching the website and my husband texted me this morning, the leopard sharks are here. So,
do you offer that service? I'd like to ride the paddleboard and just put my face down to see them.
Come and take the paddleboard. It's great. And we have some friends with kayaks. Like you could take the kayaks out and you can rent kayaks down there too. And see them. If the water's clear, you can see them.
Leopard shark weekend.
It's a great thing to do if you live in San Diego. So
try something new.
Yeah.
Very good. Speaking of new, we need to plug our Patreon page.
Yes. Exciting.
So we launched that a week or two ago. I think we did a promo a couple weeks back. And thank you, patrons who have signed up. We are excited to have you on board. And we have the additional content out there already. Mm-hmm.
We're getting merch ready.
We'll continue to add that. And yes, we'll be mailing the merch out next week. So if you are thinking of how can I support the show, I love the show, how can I give back, we would love your support on our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/thedavenport and has all the details there if you want to learn more. You can also link on our website, I believe it's the little heart icon. In the upper right, And in the show notes, we have a link that says support the show. So please check it out. We'd love to have your support. And thank you so much for tuning in and encouraging us to keep going. We really enjoy doing this. We've passed 40 episodes. So that's really exciting.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's been a very amazing process to witness and be a part of. So.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that
Monica and Aaron can attest to.
Yeah. It sounds simple probably when you just push play and here we are in your car stereo or your headphones, but there's quite a bit of work that goes on behind the scenes. That's thanks to our production team and thanks to Jamie for joining me and doing this each week.
Yeah. It's been a great thing to be a part of.
So with that said, let's jump into our topic this week, which I think is a real fun one in a sense that it applies to me.
And my family, and I had lots of experiences tonight for examples.
Yeah. Tonight we're doing a rare evening recording, and Jamie arrived primed and ready to talk about this topic. So Jamie, why don't you take it away?
Well, tonight we're going to talk about different types of communication that are really common.
Yes.
And so we're going to talk, but a lot of times we use these terms without really defining it, and we want to talk about how they're different. So we're going to talk about being assertive versus being aggressive. And sometimes we use those terms like they're synonymous and they're not.
Right. When we first talked about this, I was like, sounds like one and the same. And then the more you think about it, there is a nuance between them.
And it's important to understand the difference because sometimes people will say, well, I'm just being assertive, but they're being mean and manipulative, and it's really aggressive, or they're being passive aggressive, which is another thing we'll talk about.
Right. I was like, all those passive people out there, you're not left off the hook. We're going to throw you in too. Yeah. So
there's passive aggressive, aggressive, and assertive.
Assertive.
So we're going to talk about those four terms tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. So as we like to do, we usually like to start with a kind of definition.
Yeah.
So I'll read off some of these. There's a lot of sources online that go through these four communication styles. And then I would like your perspective too, from a therapy and counseling point of view of how the industry or the governing body kind of perceive these.
Yeah. I've talked about this with many clients.
Yeah. So passive community. We'll start with passive.
Okay.
And these, are these in particular order?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, and we all engage in all of these behaviors.
Yes. So passive communication is a style in which individuals have developed a pattern of avoiding expressing their opinions or feelings, protecting their rights, and identifying and meeting their needs. As a result, passive individuals do not respond overtly to hurtful or anger-inducing situations. Instead, they allow grievances and annoyances to mount, usually unaware of the buildup.
So I know, I'm going to use a simple example.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was very clinical.
Yeah. But in passive, so I'm a foodie and I'm not ashamed of it. But so if I order a steak, unlike my husband, I like my steak cooked. I don't want it to moo at me at all. So I order mine medium well. Now, I know that in the steak world, people think that's not a steak, right? If it's medium well.
Right.
In fact, we had you on the 4th for some Cardiff crack.
And I loved it because it was all cooked medium well to well. Yeah. And I was reminded all through dinner, this is how Jamie likes it.
Yeah. Dave, he likes it a little red. And I won't eat it. And it's expensive meat. So when he buys it, he cooks it a little longer.
But it wasn't like rubber bouncing off the plate. It was still tender.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that
credit to Dave cooking it
Dave
amazing.
Dave cooks that. I mean, he really has perfected the art of I think he cooks Cardiff Crack better than the people at Seaside Market.
For those what Cardiff Crack is?
Oh, it's a San Diego. It's a tri-tip.
Tri-tip.
And it's marinated in crack. No, I'm just kidding. Called Cardiff Crack because everyone loves it, but
you can't stop eating it once you taste it.
And so when I go out to a restaurant, if like the annual trip to Ruth Chris for our anniversary, I'll order a steak medium well. And so if I'm passive and my steak comes and I cut into it and it's mooing at me, the passive person does a couple things. One, might eat it and pout and be like, this always happens to me. But they're not going to send it back. They're not going to bring it up to the waiter. They might place blame. They might, you know, that gets more into passive aggressive behavior, but a passive person will just sit there and be like, oh, I got to pay for something I'm not going to eat. You know, it's kind of a victim-y place to be.
Yeah, yeah. The definition here goes on to say that passive communicators will often fail to assert themselves, allow others to deliberately or inadvertently infringe on their rights, fail to express their feelings, their needs, or their opinions, and tend to speak softly or apologetically. So, yeah, so you're not going to speak up and say, hey, this is cooked wrong.
Right.
I'm good enough. This is, I'll just eat it.
And that passive communication to me signals you're okay, I'm not. It's like this mentality of like, if we go back to the 80s of I'm okay, you're okay, that popular book. It's that the message is you're okay or everyone else is okay, I'm not. Like, so I don't get to have the meal I ordered, but I'm certainly not okay enough to speak up for myself and ask for.
Yeah. So I was thinking for those passive listeners that are listening right now and saying, but this isn't a bad thing. Is there a blurred line between passive and pacifist? Like someone who is being agreeable and likes to be agreeable. Versus someone who's being passive and allowing things to happen that maybe they don't want.
Well, and I think, I mean, go back to the example of a steak. No one wants to pay $40 for a steak they're not going to eat.
Oh, true. It's not cooked the way they want.
Yeah. Right. And so, but I think what happens is some people will see assertiveness as aggression.
Yeah, because that's the next one.
Right. And well, so, and vice versa. Some people will think they're being assertive when they're being aggressive. Like you might see someone yelling at a cashier. And they're like, well, I'm just being assertive. Yeah. And I'm thinking, no, you're being a jerk.
Yeah, yeah. So aggressive communication is a style in which individuals express their feelings and opinions and advocate for their needs in a way that violates the rights of others.
Right.
Thus, aggressive communicators are verbally and are physically abusive.
Mm-hmm. And an aggressive communicator goes one up. So the minute you feel small in someone's presence, they're being aggressive. That's always an indicator to me. Like, oh, this is aggressive. I feel like at times passive aggressive can feel that way too. And we'll get more into that later. But so aggressive, if you think about they bring the steak out, I cut into it. It's mooing at me. If I'm aggressive, what am I going to do?
It instantly you're on the warpath. You're like, who did this? Why is it wrong? Fix
it. Let me talk to the manager. Yeah. I'm not paying for this. I'm getting free dessert. I mean, whatever, and I'm getting this comped.
You've offended me. Yeah.
Yes. And so aggressiveness is this, I need to make other people feel small almost, or it's someone else's fault. There can't just be an accident or, oh, there was a misunderstanding. I thought you said medium rare or there's no real generosity.
Yeah, that's what you said. Generosity is missing from the equation.
And so aggressiveness then is I'm okay, you're not. Do you know what I mean? And that's where we can get into trouble because then it's about being right and, you know, doing.
That'd be a fun book to read.
Yeah.
I'm okay. You're not okay.
But that's that aggression, right?
Yeah. I never thought of it as abusive, but it does tend to. I have a history of maybe being aggressive sometimes or more aggressive than I think I'm being. I'm classic. Mm-hmm. I'm assertive, and it comes across aggressive. Uh-huh. And when you said kind of the one up or make someone smaller, like when it runs away from me, it is I'll have the final word.
Yeah,
and I'm right, and it's obvious that you are not, and you need to concede.
Right, and it's funny. My husband he's never been aggressive in our relationship. Occasionally, I've seen him be a little aggressive, like when he's doing a return. At a store and it's not going the way he thinks it should go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, excuse me, this is a human. Actually, this little 17-year-old cashier has nothing to do with the store policy or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And he'll kind of be relentless and being like, no, I'm trying to get what I need. And so sometimes when I talk to him, I'm like, I know, but it's your delivery. And that's the difference between that aggressiveness and assertiveness is our tone, our intent, and our delivery.
Yeah.
And so we can communicate those feelings of frustration. That's not wrong or bad. It's how we do it. Do I need to make you feel small in order to get this done the way I need it to get done?
Yeah. It's making me think back to My first job out of college, I worked in a telecommunications company, which snooze fest for anyone listening. But one of the roles was like an account manager that my job was to escalate problems. And I'm thinking just of the nature of that word.
Yeah.
If you're escalating, so you find a problem.
You're amping it up.
You get people on the phone and you escalate. Yeah. And that is super aggressive.
Yeah.
But it kind of taught me from early on that was rewarded, because if you escalated it, it got more eyes on it. It got more volatile and nobody wanted that. So then you got resolution quicker.
Oh, wow.
Versus being passive and letting it kind of play out. Mm-hmm. If you escalate it, now something that could be resolved in 2 days was resolved in 1 day. Or if I was really good, an hour. Mm-hmm. And then I would get pats on the back and rewarded for having gotten it taken care of faster.
Yeah. Well, I have a really good example too. When I was in college, now everyone's going to like this. We can post a picture of it if we need to. I was a traffic officer at Brigham Young University.
Speaking of escalating. Yes.
Yeah. And what was funny is when I took my daughter to swim camp up there a couple of weeks ago, there were traffic officers there, you know, directing
on the bikes.
Yeah, they're on the bikes. Yep. And I told my daughter, I'm like, I used to have that job. And she's like, what? You had to wear that uniform? And I said, actually, mine was much worse. They had nice blue uniforms and mine was like brown polyester. It was terrible, but it was like flammable. Like when I had to light flares to direct traffic at the basketball games, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to catch on fire. But I can remember. So we worked all the special events and directing traffic at football games and basketball games. And then
Did you do parking enforcement?
Yeah. During the week. Okay. So 20 hours a week was parking enforcement.
And I'm sure we got in a fight at some point.
Maybe. We're going to talk about my experience with aggression, right? So I we rode these mountain bikes all over campus. So we'd like give tickets and we'd chalk tires.
You had like a siren,
tires.
Right? You had like a siren on
no
it.
No siren. Flashing light. No siren. No flashing light. But we had these like hot spots, right? Like the 30-minute timed spots. So all the students would try to go to class in these 30 minutes. Yeah.
Why does it always have to be a parking example? Like really? You're taking me right back to yelling at the...
At me.
At someone maybe in your position while they're trying to hook my car up to a tow truck.
Well, so this is my story. Maybe it was you. So I ticketed. So I got a call from a gal who was handicapped. And she said, there is a car in the handicap space and it doesn't have a handicap sticker. And I'm going to be late for class. So I went over there. I look at the car. There's no handicap plates. There's no handicap thing in the front, you know. And so I ticket him and I call the tow truck because that's an immediate tow.
Yeah.
And the policy was as soon as the tow truck touches the car, I can't make the call anymore. The tow truck driver has to do it because now there's a liability issue.
Right.
And we're in a parking lot, which meant faculty. So I'm like, oh gosh, this is some professor who is late for work.
Can you describe the car?
And so I'm like, so the tow truck makes contact. And it wasn't you because it was an older gentleman. And this was 30 years ago. And I remember this man running out of the building and he was yelling and saying words I had not heard outside of a movie theater, right? And he was yelling at me and calling me lots of things. And here, this grown man, a professor, a man with a PhD, right, teaching in a university setting. And I said, sir, actually, this isn't my fault. I did not park here. This is clearly a handicapped, you know, space. Yeah. And there's a woman here who needs to park in a handicapped space that you were. And she's like, well, all you have to do is take the truck off. And the tow truck driver looks at me and he's like, I'm not going to do that, sir. Because he was ticked at this guy's response, which could have been passive aggressive if we get into that. Right. But he's like, I'll see you down at the wherever they take towed cars. But that guy didn't care about the tow truck driver. He went after me so hard. I'm calling your boss. You're going to get fired. And I was just like, go right ahead. I actually just did my job. And so my boss will be more than happy to defend me. So then I just remember, though, when he left, because I'm 19, 20 years old, you know, and I just remember
the car got towed.
Okay. He left. The girl parks her van and she gets to class. And I was helping her get in, you know, just get into the building because it's wintertime at Brigham Young University. Yeah. Like there's snow and ice. So I can appreciate that this guy was in a hurry. Not my fault. Yeah. I can appreciate that he tried to park in a handicapped spot. also not my fault. And then he got towed because there are signs everywhere saying tow zone. You know, you have to have a permit to park here.
And like you said, there, you guys had your areas. It was heavily patrolled.
Right. Yeah. And so I was laughing and I was just, that's such a good example of aggression. And a lot of times aggression will change the end result, but in an abusive way, right?
Yeah. You can get your way.
You can.
And you burn bridges and cause a lot of damage.
And you hurt people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it becomes you against them.
Right.
Instead of lift up everyone together.
I'm okay. You're not. So we go back to that. So that's a great example of aggression. Right. And being aggressive. That's not being assertive. That's being mean. It's being a jerk and it's being aggressive. So,
yeah, I'm lost in thought about my
about your aggression
running in with my. Yeah.
Hey, I did.
It was not a handicap park spot that I parked in, though.
I actually had a fun experience one time. Just quick little tangent. I gave a guy a ticket. And he asked me out. Like, he's all, hey, did you write this ticket? I'm like, I'm really sorry. Like, you're in the red. And
that was a total ploy. And that was a ploy. He's like, if I ask her out, maybe she'll drop the ticket.
I think he thought I would. Once you write the ticket, I couldn't do anything about it. It's in the system. So then we started talking and laughing. Date,
can we swing by that traffic office and look at the paperwork?
He didn't ask me out while I'm in my brown polyester. But later we were at a dance or something, and he came up to me and he was like, hey, you're the girl who gave me a ticket.
Do you happen to have the keys to that traffic office?
And we started talking.
Show me your bike.
He asked me out and we went on a date. And I was like, oh, that would have been a great story. But he wasn't the one.
He wasn't the one. He was an offender. Yeah.
So anyway, I was hated by many, but it was okay. I just knew they hated the uniform, not me.
So if any listeners out there kind of having some realization about their ways right now.
Yeah.
Just, you're not alone.
Just breathe and you're in good company.
Yeah. Yeah. So then let's, which one do you want to go to next? The assertive or the passive aggressive?
Let's combo. Go to assertive.
Assertive. Okay. Jump to the assertive. So assertive communication is a style in which individuals clearly state their opinions and feelings, clear as kind. Mm-hmm. Like we always say, like Brené Brown always says, and firmly advocate for their rights and needs without violating the rights of others.
Right.
These individuals value themselves, their time, and their emotional, spiritual, and physical needs, and are strong advocates for themselves while being very respectful of the rights of others.
Right. So I'm at Ruth Chris. I cut into my steak. It's rare. And the waitress is standing there. And I'm like, you know what? Excuse me. I ordered medium well. This is really rare. Is it okay to send this back to the cook? Can you have him put it back on the grill or can I get something else or whatever? I don't need to make her feel small. Let's go back to the I'm okay, right? Yeah. I'm okay and you're okay
right. When
I'm being assertive. And again, this girl had nothing to do with cooking my steak, right? She's just bringing me the food from the kitchen. So making her feel small isn't going to help. So when we're assertive, I'm being respectful of the space she's in and I'm being respectful of my needs.
Right.
And it's okay to validate both of those things in communication.
And that brings back that generosity you mentioned where we don't know what happened.
Right.
And so we're going to be curious about it and be open to figuring it out versus making assumptions and demands.
Right. I mean, my husband could have cut into his steak and it was well done and maybe she just put it in the wrong spot. Right. And sometimes we make a scene. And we do get aggressive and then we find out, oh, it was just at the wrong place. And then we all of a sudden we're like trying to back out of what a jerk we just were. And it's like too late, too little, too late.
I'm thinking of that, the dining out episode with the Goldbergs, which it's hilarious. Remember. You have to see that episode.
Which,
so aggressive. Okay. They go to the dinner. It's a whole episode of how they order and eat their food at the dinner and a lot of go backs and special requests. A lot of aggression.
Yeah.
But.
So, I mean, I think that, you know, that assertive place, it feels healthy. It feels good.
Yeah.
For both people involved.
It feels controlled.
Mm-hmm.
So aggression also feels controlled, but in a domineering way. And I'm thinking my own feelings here. When I do get more aggressive,
it bubbles up, right? It gets a little out of control.
Aggression is on the verge of losing it.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm getting bigger and louder so I don't lose it because I want you to give in to me.
Wait, tell me more about that. What is that tendency? Because that goes along with it, right? I get bigger. I get louder.
Yeah.
I have to prove my point.
Well, and I want to get my
innate.
I think then if someone cowers to you, right, you just got your way.
Yeah.
And that validates, like, see, I was right. At the expense of what? This little girl's going to go home crying. Like, I had the biggest jerk at my tables tonight. Or whatever it is. And
But you might not have got a ticket. I don't know.
Yeah. Nope, still got towed.
I was able to talk my way out of the tow.
Okay.
Because he hadn't hooked up to the car.
Oh, yeah. As long as
so I stood between the truck and the car. And
Stand off with guy.
And then the female officer was just kind of, we were barbing back and forth.
It would be funny if it was me.
It would have been.
Because there were only like two females on the crew.
It was a faculty lot.
What year was it?
It would have been like 95.
Yeah, no, too late. I did it like you'd pass 90, the torch. 91. Yeah. Yeah. My roommates thought it was hilarious. In fact, sometimes they knew where I was directing traffic, like for a basketball game. And I remember one night they drove on the median in a Jeep and they like had Taco Bell and they're like honking and being crazy. And it's busy, right? There's a lot of traffic. They're like, Jamie! And they're like handing me Taco Bell. I'm like, I can't eat Taco Bell right now.
I eat a Taco Bell. I direct traffic here.
Yeah. They just liked seeing me.
Because you were a serious officer. You're not going to.
With my flares right. Around me. They were funny. They'd always come.
Respect the badge.
Yeah.
I don't eat tacos while on duty.
Rent a cop. No. It was a fun job. I'm not going to lie. It was. We'd like go down the Richards Building stairs and we just rode. We rode those bikes into the ground, but it was fun.
Oh, that's funny. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever, right?
Right.
And we got another parking story in. Thank you.
Yes.
So the last one here of the four is the passive aggressive.
So passive aggressive has a funny history, right?
Yeah.
So when I was in grad school, a new version of the diagnostic manual had just come out. Okay. Now, since then, there's been a couple.
I feel like passive aggressive is way overused.
Yes. That like word gets, we say ever. It about everything. Oh, he's so passive aggressive.
So passive aggressive. Yeah. Yeah, why always put the word so in it? So passive aggressive. Yeah. Everything's so passive aggressive. Yeah.
But it used to be a personality disorder. It was listed in the DSM-4.
Disorder.
Uh-huh. It was, or maybe it was the DSM-3. I can't remember. But in one of the old editions of the DSM, it was there. And they took it out because it got so misused and misinterpreted. And that's my understanding that it just
applied to everyone and everything.
Yes. Yeah. And then it's subjective too, right? Like people will come in. I'm seeing this also with like narcissism and things like that. Right. Now everyone's married to a narcissist.
Everyone's a narcissist, yeah. And they're passive aggressive.
And I'm like, well, there's a really clear definition of narcissism. Yeah,
the best way to treat a narcissist is passive aggressively, right?
Right, right. Drive them crazy. And so I think, they took it out just because it was just like everyone had
too
this
confusing,
diagnosis.
Right. Overdone. Okay.
And so I always think about the behaviors in passive aggressiveness. And
yeah, break that down because since it is confusing.
Passive aggressive has a lot of learned helplessness. So okay. You'll see that.
So that's the passive side.
Uh-huh. Okay. And procrastination, stubbornness, resentment, a deliberate or repeated failure to accomplish requested tasks for which one is responsible. So like you might see your kids being passive aggressive. Like you're like, hey, did you take the garbage out? I will.
Yeah.
Well, you got to take the garbage out before you go to the movies with your friends. I will.
Well, yeah.
And then you have a fight with your daughter and then she's like, I'm not taking the garbage out. But then she's at the movies and you realize, oh, she didn't take the garbage out. Actually, if anyone's listening that's friends with my daughter, she has not done this. But I'm just using that as an example. Like you can be passive aggressive. I always think about.
Is that just passive? What's the aggressive part of that?
Because of your intention.
Oh, okay.
You're like. Screw you. Yeah, right. I'm not doing that.
And then so, if someone does call you on it, you get aggressive about it.
Right.
Like,
so well,
I always have to do that. Why do you always make me do that? And, you know.
Let's do a movie reference.
Oh, yes.
I love my movie references. Okay, Sleeping with the Enemy. Have you seen this movie? With Julia Roberts and her crazy husband. Well, Julia Roberts is the actress in it. And her husband, like, it's super abusive. But
Sleeping with the Enemy.
Sleeping with the Enemy. Okay. It will scare the living... It's a scary, suspenseful story. Anyway, it's about this abusive marriage. And her husband has like OCD, tendencies for sure.
Okay.
And she finally gets rid of him and she's living alone in the house. But he had a big thing with the towels in the bathroom, like how they were hung.
Okay.
And so she was like so happy when she was alone, like she can leave the towels on the floor or whatever. And one night she comes home and she's in the bathroom and she's by herself and she realizes, and she's looking at the towels and the camera just shows the towels and the towels are exactly how he put them. And she realizes she's not alone.
He's in the house.
Right. He's in the house. And so passive aggressive is like, had she done that when they were still in the house together, like she knows he likes the towels like this, but I'm going to purposely put my towels on the floor because I know it bugs him.
Okay.
So it's actually passive aggressive is very mean, but you look very innocent. And that's why it's so dangerous.
That's the key. Okay. Yes. So the passive part is the veil of I'm not doing
like
anything.
What? I was talking nice.
And then the aggressive is the underlying intention to irritate.
I'll give you an example from tonight's dinner.
Good. I was waiting to get to this.
I make dinner
for my at the family. Pyatt House.
And today was a big work day for me. But for some reason, I felt like I really need to cook dinner. My daughter has swim practice. So I like grilled chicken on the grill in the backyard and I made some broccoli. And then my husband threw together a salad. And so we sit and I cut up some strawberries. And so we sit down to eat. And my husband he walked in the door just as we were like sitting down at the table. I'm like, oh, perfect timing. Because a lot of times I just have to keep things warm for him. And so he goes right over to get the plate and he's getting the broccoli out of the pan. And he said, and this is like before he's said, and we haven't even had a conversation. And he said, hey, just, you know, a good idea when you cook broccoli, when it's done cooking, you could just put the broccoli, take it out of the steamer so it doesn't get soggy.
Yeah. Helpful tip.
Helpful tip. Okay. I'm like, oh, thanks, Julia Childs. No, that's really passive aggressive.
There you go.
I was still really passive aggressive because what I did say was, oh, you're welcome. And then my daughter's looking at me and then we're eating. We get past that moment.
Oh, you're welcome.
And my daughter, she's like, ew, this strawberry has mold on it. And I'm like, it's not mold. And Dave was backing me up. He's like, it's earth. It's like, you know how strawberries, they get little like gritty on the outside sometimes. And so she wouldn't eat it. And she kept putting some of her strawberries to the side. And I was just like, you guys. And then, you know, it was just like one thing after another they were complaining about. So finally, I was just like, wow, there's nothing more unpleasant in my life than cooking for the two of you. And then my daughter's like,
boom,
you're just being mean now. And I said, you're right. And I just had to own it because I was frustrated. And so I think that's what
we have
to realize.
So the assertive comment would have been, hey, I'm feeling like you are unappreciative of my efforts here.
Yeah.
And I would like a different response.
Yeah. I would appreciate you just coming in and eating or calling me every day at 4 o'clock saying, don't cook dinner. I'm bringing food home or whatever it is, right? Like,
be clear of your intentions and what you need.
But that comes from my family's part too, right? Instead of saying, oh, hey, it would be a great idea to take the broccoli out of the pan. It's just saying,
or just even clear. I like broccoli if it's taken out of the pan after it's cooked.
And so if you cook it again, I appreciate that you cook it, but next time will you take it out of the steamer? Yeah. Oh, great. Not like I'm going to give you a little tip. That just felt so condescending to me. And that's not what his intention was.
Right.
Right. And so we got through it. In fact, I was teasing them. I go, oh, funny that we're talking about passive aggressiveness tonight. Thanks for all the content.
Thanks for the content.
And so, but we got through it. We got through it. And everyone ate and was nourished before practice. And we're good.
So that passive aggressive behavior, it begat more passive aggressive behavior.
Yeah,
right?
Because you avoid clear communication.
Right. It gets muddier.
Right. And you get really into blaming. So someone could say, you know, hey, I'm sorry I was late. Well, you're always late. That's really passive aggressive, you know, like, or it's just like, well, oh, I'm sorry that you're, you know, you didn't do well on your test. Well, it's your fault.
That's what you get for not studying.
Yeah. Or even just like, blaming it on someone else. Well, it's your fault that I didn't do well on my test because you were watching TV while I was studying and I couldn't concentrate. That's really kind of passive aggressive as well.
So not taking ownership, placing blame.
And not communicating clear and avoiding direct and clear communication.
Right. And then doubling down on attacks or retaliation when you feel offended.
And a lot of passive aggressive behavior includes playing the victim. You know,
is that usually where it's initiated from? Is the victim side?
Yes.
Okay.
And they may have fairly been a victim, right?
Yeah.
But then they take on that role.
Right. Like you were offended about the comment about the broccoli. Mm-hmm. And so then you say, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Now you're making offense.
Right. Absolutely. But now what happens is I can see that behavior right away.
Yeah.
Right. And so then I own it and change direction.
Yep.
So if a passive aggressive person has a tough time leaving that arena.
Yeah, because you do hear that. Like in coaching, I hear that all the time. Like, you know, I don't know how to change this behavior. It's
or people will say, my dad's really passive aggressive.
Right. It's
or
a family
my husband.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when you just that's when you, if you can't name it, you can't change it. And so if you're a victim.
That. That's a pillow. If you can't name it, you can't change
it. Right. And so as a victim, if it's everyone else's fault, I have every right to sit in that arena and do what I want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's your fault.
We're going to keep stirring it around.
It's your fault that she failed her test. It's your fault that, you know.
Yeah, and that generosity goes out the window.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think then it actually can fester into a really toxic place and leave you really unhappy.
Yeah, because without the generosity and with blame, it's not about what I want. It becomes retaliation and what others think and what others said, and then how do I counter that and how do I win?
Yeah.
Like
no one's okay in this scenario.
You're not okay. I'm not okay.
Yeah. And that's
a passive aggressive story.
That's not a happy place to be. And so I think sometimes that victim place can be really dangerous and lonely. And that's why you act in that way, I believe, when we feel a sense of being a victim. Like tonight was a perfect example. I felt like, oh, you guys don't even appreciate what I'm doing. And I got victim-y and got passive aggressive in my communication. Instead of just saying, oh, that really hurts my feelings, I spend some time making dinner and it feels like you guys are just criticizing me instead of just eating and enjoying the meal or whatever. And
I feel I tried to do something nice. I am feeling criticized.
And just be clear and concise.
And that would be the assertive way to share your feelings and still live in your intention, which was to make dinner for your family.
I probably still need to apologize when I get home. Just to be clear, right? Like, I get it. I see how I was behaving.
Especially after they hear this episode. But, yeah.
Dave knows. I always ask him, I'm like, do you hate that I share things? He's like, it's fine.
Is he saying that passively or is he?
No, he has a healthy sense of self. Like he does not. One of his greatest strengths is he is not easily offended. So it makes him a good leader, I think, because he's just like, you don't like my tie. I don't really care.
That's fine. Yeah, we're good. Yeah. So for the listeners, as we went through these four styles of communication, it's natural to kind of identify with one, right? What's would we say that assertive is the place we're all trying to get to?
I think assertive is where we want to land.
Okay. So if we're at passive or we're at aggressive or we're mixing the two, passive aggressive. Mm-hmm.
And you can always back out of any of those and land in assertive.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can always say, you know what? I'm really sorry. I'm not handling this well.
You know, I've actually had to do that. And I think it's actually been more as I've gotten older and as I've been married, where I'll get that little, squeeze from Aaron if we're doing, and I'm going down the aggressive path. And then I stop and like, I'm sorry. I just was getting a little worked up.
Yeah.
Let me restart here.
Yeah.
It
probably goes much better.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see the reaction of the person on the other side because they're starting to armor up in anticipation of whatever I'm going to say. And when I diffuse it, then they're like, no, it's okay. Yeah, we're good.
Mara did a good example on our boundaries episode when she was confronting, somebody about her mother.
Yes.
And they were getting into it. And finally she said, you know what? Let me start over.
Yeah.
I think we both want the best interest for my mom.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden this person became very agreeable because all of a sudden everyone's okay. Actually, this isn't your fault. I'm not trying to blame you. Like, let me back up. I'm getting emotional and I'm invested.
I'm owning my emotions. Yes. I'm owning the about to go to lose control here.
Which invites people to stay engaged. When we get aggressive or passive aggressive, I become very disinterested in association. It's like, this doesn't feel good. So I'm going to distance myself, or I'm going to set a pretty clear boundary that I can't engage with someone who's going to be consistently aggressive with me or consistently passive aggressive with me.
Yeah. And so that's great. Great advice. I mean, this is like therapy for me. Thank you. This is, I'm going to work on my aggression. For the passive person out there, what's the path towards assertive for them?
I think it's to practice speaking up for yourself.
Just
and
try
so
it.
Think about how you would defend a friend. A lot of times a passive person can actually be assertive for someone else, but they have a hard time doing it for themselves.
Oh, that's a great. So be an ally or an advocate for mm-hmm. something mm-hmm. and then apply that to yourself.
And then think about, you know, why are you not doing that for yourself? What is it in yourself that you're telling yourself it's not okay what I want, what I need? And so where did you learn that it's okay not to ask for what you need or want?
Yeah. So if the thought is I can't say anything about that, or I'm going to just defer and kind of place it on a friend mm-hmm. or someone you admire and say, if they were in that position, what would you tell them to do?
Yeah. Yeah. Or even like when someone says, hey, I'm going to stop and bring some ice cream home. What flavor do you want? Don't be like, well, whatever.
Whatever. Yeah.
Think about it and say, well, I want strawberry.
Just pick one.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't want strawberry, but just pick one.
Well, pick something. Pick something that you enjoy and be okay speaking up saying, I would really like some strawberry ice cream if they have it.
Yeah.
You know, pick something small to begin that
try
practice.
It on. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good little practice mm-hmm. for someone who finds themselves deep in that
right.
Passive side of communication.
Right. And sometimes if we're passive so long, we'll be aggressive thinking we're being assertive because there's that buildup. It happens over time where it's just like, I feel like I get offended. And then all of a sudden I just can't take it. So I'm going to let you know what I think. And I'm just being an assertive, independent person.
Yeah.
And really they're being aggressive and unkind.
Yeah. And if you don't have a preference or you don't necessarily care about the topic or the choice or whatever mm-hmm. it is, that might be a place to get curious about what you really want and what's important to you.
Yeah.
Because if there's so much that doesn't really matter, what does matter?
And I think, too, it's letting go of having validation from other people.
Yeah, because there's a tippy-toe feeling.
Yeah.
There. Like we're walking on eggshells. I don't really want to say what I want because that's not
what if I
important.
Don't get the response I want or it's confrontational or whatever it is.
Right.
Sometimes we're just worried too much about what other people think. Or
and by expressing, you're not turning into an aggressive person. You're just turning into an assertive person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Express what you want and really share. It's building that connection that other people get to know you.
And an assertive person can handle the response of the other person.
Right.
Where aggression can't.
Right. And passive can't either.
Yeah. Passive can't either.
Yeah.
So they're that's both. An important thing to recognize. Where an assertive communication, there's room for both of you.
That's a great takeaway.
It's not like, oh, listen up.
Right.
You're
going
to hear me.
You're not preaching.
Right? Yeah.
And
yeah.
you're not just, you know, letting everything happen.
Right.
Yeah. You're engaged.
Yeah.
Generously engaged.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
I could talk about this forever.
Yeah.
and I think it's because we all step in this. Like we all, there have been times I can count a million times when I have been too passive or I've been too aggressive or, you know, but I can also cite times when I've been assertive and that feels good. It feels like a healthy place to sit in. And so the more you practice in being assertive, the easier it gets to stay there.
Yeah. I think deep down, that's the thing. You got to listen to the internal cues because
mm-hmm.
you know when it feels healthy
mm-hmm.
and you know when it's not right and
yeah.
you know when it's like irritating or you're being stepped on.
Yeah.
And so listen to those internal cues, that intuition that tells you something's not quite right here. I need to explore some different options.
Yeah.
And try being a little more assertive or a little less aggressive.
Yeah.
Very good. Hey, this is a great topic. I think that's really insightful. It, like you said, we all have this in our lives, and yeah. we all cycle through all four styles of communication.
Yeah.
We all kind of have our favorites, and we may be in you know, familial situation that encourages one style over another.
Sure.
And so try something new. Break out.
But you get to choose, right? Yeah. You can
it's your choice.
Spend more time in that assertive arena if you practice there more, you know.
Well, thank you so much, Jamie, for joining me here on the Davenport. Thanks for tuning in, listeners.
Yes. And have a good weekend. Hopefully we'll see you out at the Sharks.
There we go. Leopard Sharks.
Right.
Very good. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening this week. Stay connected by following us on Instagram or Facebook at the Davenport Podcast. For more information on coaching services with Guy, visit his website, thecoachguy.net. For additional information regarding counseling services, the Daring Way curriculum, or relationship counseling, please go to jamiepyattlcsw.com.
The Davenport Podcast is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only. Although Jamie is a licensed clinical social worker and Guy is a professional life coach, the information and opinions shared by the hosts and their guests are not intended to be a substitute for professional, medical, or mental health advice, diagnosis, or treatment. The information on this show does not create a client-therapist or coaching relationship and should not be taken as professional advice or guidance. Please consult with your physician or a qualified healthcare provider regarding any medical or mental health conditions.